This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillahi wahda, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'da. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum. كوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا. وقال تعالى: وأمر أهلك بالصلاة واصطبر عليها، لا نسألك رزقا نحن نرزقك، والعاقبة للتقوى. صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected ulama, elders, brothers, mothers and sisters who are listening, and also the guest of honor today, our beloved children who are here in front, alhamdulillah. Had it not been for the children, we would not have gathered here today. We are gathered here because of them. They are the main people in the program today. We are celebrating them, alhamdulillah. So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our children. Brothers, we thank Allah ta'ala for the favors Allah has bestowed upon us. And we send salutations upon our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There is no doubt that Islam is the greatest ni'mat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. And we have to preserve this Islam. We have to preserve the iman that Allah ta'ala has bestowed upon us. And Allah ta'ala has granted us. And Allah ta'ala has given us this iman. And it is not as if we are entitled to it or we are worthy of it. It is only Allah ta'ala's grace that He has granted us iman, and we make dua that Allah Ta'ala keep us with iman. And Allah Ta'ala not only keep us with iman, may Allah Ta'ala make us the means of the iman of our children. Today, one of the greatest responsibilities, if not the greatest, is to preserve the iman of our children. Our children, my dear respected elders and brothers, are great favors of Allah. You know, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has referred to children as the flowers of Allah Ta'ala. In one riwayat, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said they are flowers of Allah. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to love children. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to play with children. Many times Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to be going on the streets, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to see the children, and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to join them. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to play with them for a while. Today, really, we don't echo the sentiments and the example of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in many things, even with regard to our interaction with children. And today I would like to make mention of some of the responsibility that we as parents and as community have to our children. Firstly is to show them the love. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had great love, and especially with regard to the grandchildren. Subhanallah. The children of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam grew up at a time when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was undergoing great trials and great challenges in the beginning of Islam, establishing Islam. And I will relate one two incidents with regard to them. But Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was in Medina. That's the time when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's grandchildren, you know, came onto the scene. And they were the ones that came in the latter portion of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life. So the two grandchildren who were very beloved to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, they were about 7 years of age, more or less. Right? So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had tremendous love for his grandchildren. And by and large, you know, we in our circles, we also speak about the love of grandchildren. They say the grandchildren are the prophets. We make an investment, the investment in the children, and the grandchildren are the prophets. And there's one beautiful saying, and I can, you know, lay claim to that. They say, grandchildren, they fill a space in your heart which you never knew was empty. Grandchildren fill a space in your heart which you never knew was empty. And Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had this. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to play with his grandchildren to such an extent, he used to keep them on his back. And sometimes you find that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to let them ride on his back. So one day, a Sahabi came to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he saw, I think it was Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala on the back of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the person told Hazrat Hussein, "Oh, you are so fortunate. You are mounting and you are on the back of your grandfather who is the Nabi of Allah, the greatest of Allah's creation." Now look at how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made his grandchild feel important. He said, so he told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and he told Hazrat Hussein that what a great mount, you are on the back of Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam turned around and told the Sahabi, what a great rider I got on my back. He made him feel so special. So what a great rider I got on my back. And one incident I read in the book of Hazrat Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu by Sa'labi, who has written some very beautiful books on the history and great personalities. And today you find many of his books in the Haramain when you go to the bookshops. And I would recommend that you start reading those books about historical personalities. So in this one incident he made mention, he said, one occasion, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went out on a journey and Hazrat Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu were crying. So Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam couldn't take their crying. So he went into the tent of Hazrat Fatima and he said, why are my grandchildren crying? Why are they crying? So let me give you also another aspect with regard to this incident. So in the time of Marwan, he was the governor of Medina. Now that time there was some tension between the Banu Umayyads and the Bani Hashim. So Marwan came to Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu and said, Abu Huraira, why do you show so much of love and consideration for Hazrat Hassan and Hussein when I'm the governor of Medina? So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and I can make mention of this incident with great pride because we are in the Masjid of Abu Huraira, mashallah. The Masjid is named Masjid Abu Huraira. So Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala was lying down. So he got up and said, Marwan, don't ever rebuke me or say anything to me with regard to the love I have for Hazrat Hassan Hussein. Do you know why I love them? He said, then he related this incident which I was making mention of. He said, Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was going in a journey. He saw Hazrat Hassan Hussein crying. He went into the tent and he said, why are my children, grandchildren crying? So the Fatima said, it is beyond me. They are crying because there is no water and they are thirsty. That's why they're crying. It's in the desert, there's no water. Brothers, do you know what Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did? He put Hassan and Hussein on his lap and he took out his tongue and he made them suck the tongue, made them suck his tongue. Now either because of the moisture of the tongue or either I read this aspect of this incident that Allah Ta'ala might have put water as a miracle upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They sucked the tongue and they satiated their thirst. This is how Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved Hazrat Hassan and Hussein. This is how he loved children. He couldn't bear seeing them crying. And he said, why are my grandchildren crying? Brothers, this is how we are supposed to love our children. And you see, but together with the love, I think it's important for us to make mention that together with the love, children are a great responsibility. The greatest responsibility we have upon our children is to give them proper upbringing, to bring them upon with iman. That is the greatest responsibility of the parents. More than anything else, today, Muslim parents regard it as a responsibility to look after the financial needs. They feel it that, no, we have to provide for the clothing, the food, and the basic necessities of the children. But very few of us regard it as a responsibility upon us to provide for the spiritual upbringing of our children, to keep them upon iman. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, in the verse which I have recited, said, وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your family to perform salat and you also be steadfast upon it. So you can't expect to have tarbiyat of children when you yourself are not a role model. So many times parents do this mistake. They expect the children to behave, but they themselves are not role model. Therefore Allah Ta'ala said, I command you to perform salat and I command you to tell your family to perform salat. وَأْمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. Command your family to perform salat and you also be steadfast upon it. لَا نَسْأَلُكَ رِزْقًا. I don't ask you for the risk. نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُكُ. Allah Ta'ala says, I will provide for them. I will provide for them. Their risk is written. Sometimes the risk is written that I will provide for them via the parents. Allah will give the parents risk because of the children. Allah will give you risk because of your children. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had said many a times, you are given risk because of the vulnerable people who are dependent upon you for risk. You thinking that your business is doing very well? Allah is giving it to you via your children. Allah has written the risk via you. So Allah Ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَرْزُقُمْ. But Allah Ta'ala says, I will provide for them, but I want you to give them good tarbiyah. I want you to command them to perform salat. Look at the beautiful way Allah Ta'ala has made mention of it. In the Holy Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has made mention. You know, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَدَرَ وَعْيَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَدَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ إِلَهُ وَاحِدًا وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. Allah Ta'ala says, were you present? Now Allah Ta'ala is making us aware of the importance of the message Allah has given us. Were you present at the time of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam's death? إِذْ حَدَّرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. The time of death. Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam had his children in front of him. And what did Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam tell unto his children? Now today, if you and I, for example, we were in our situation and we are giving parting advices to our children, I wonder what type of parting advices we will give. What type of parting advices we will give? And compare that with the parting advice Yaqub alayhi salam gave to his children. Perhaps we will call our children and we will say, you must live with muhabbat, you know, do this, do that, live with your muhabbat, do this, do that. You know, I've got certain assets which I didn't tell you about. You know, I've got a bank account maybe in London, which now I need to tell you about because I'm leaving this world. Or there is a joke that goes around something like this. A person one day was on his deathbed and he called, he has three children. So he said, Muhammad, where are you? So Muhammad felt that, you know, his father is on his deathbed. He's calling him, so he came quickly. Then he said, Abdullah, where are you? Abdullah also came. Papa is very sick. Maybe Papa want to give us parting advices. Then he called, he had one other particular child, and that child's name was Ibrahim. Ibrahim, where are you? So Ibrahim also came running. So when everyone was there, they told that maybe he wants to give us parting advice. So he said, if all three of you are here, who's in the shop? If all of you are here, who's in the shop? Who's looking after the business? Maybe our situation is like that. But look at what Allah Ta'ala says about Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam. When he told unto his children, Ma ta'abuduna min ba'di, who are you going to worship after me? Brothers, I want you to think about this. Every one of you must think about this. Who is asking the question? A Nabi of Allah, Yaqub alayhi salam, whose father was also a Nabi of Allah, Ishaq alayhi salam. His grandfather was who? Ibrahim alayhi salam, Abul Anbiya, the father of all the Anbiya. His uncle was Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. Amongst his children, he is also a Nabi, Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. This is such a Nabi with such a pedigree. And what question he's asking? A question that you and I will say, what do you expect me to ask my children who they're going to worship? Aren't they Muslims? Don't they know they are supposed to worship Allah? A question that you and I will feel shy to ask. But he asked a question, who are you going to worship after me? قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله أبائك. They all replied that we will worship. You know, قالوا نعبد إلهك. Your Allah and the Allah and the Lord of our great grandfather and the great legacy that we hold. إله واحدة, the one Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. ونحن له مسلمون, and we will submit to Allah Taala. If that was his greatest concern, and then he heard this answer, can you imagine how he must have died a satisfied person? Brothers, do we regard the aspect of deen as important as this? Do we regard that this must be the most important thing for our children? In Ma'riful Quran, Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of the incident of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And in this, They say that, you know, very interesting incident. We all know Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was away from Yaqub alayhi salam for 40 years. وَبْيَدَّتْ أَيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْحُزْنِ. He cried so much that his eyesight got lost out of the separation of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And so eventually, of course, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was sold into slavery. He became the most important person of Egypt. He was in control of the entire Egypt. So when he eventually revealed himself to his brothers, and he told unto his brothers, قَدْ هَلْ عَلِمْتُمْ مَا فَعَلْتُمْ بِيُوسُفْ وَأَخِيهِ أَنْتُمْ جَاهِلُونَ. So now you can imagine the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they didn't know Yusuf alayhi salam is now, they are addressing him. He is the most important person in Egypt. And he told them, do you remember what you did with Yusuf when you were ignorant? You threw him down a well. You sold him into slavery. Huh? Then they said, how do you know about Yusuf? And they looked carefully. And they said, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفْ. You are Yusuf. And he said, أَنَا يُوسُفُ وَهَذَا أَخِي. Yes, I am Yusuf and this is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah has favored us, that Allah Ta'ala has granted me such great respect after such a great trial. So after all of that, وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْأُرْقَالَ أَبُوهُمْ إِنِّي لَأَجِدُ رُوحَ يُوسُفَ. So Yusuf asked about his father Yaqub alayhi salam. He said, Yaqub alayhi salam has become blind. So Yaqub alayhi salam is in Canaan, far away from Egypt. So then Yusuf alayhi salam gave his kurta. He said, put it upon the eyes of my father, فَرْتَدَّ basira, his eyesight will be restored. So then they left from there. So when they left from Egypt, so Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inni la ajidi riha Yusuf. I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf. I can smell the fragrance of Yusuf. So the people who are around him said, Tallahi innaka lafi dhalalikal qadim. That you are gone astray. 40 years ago he was there. Where you can smell the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاءَ الْبَشِيرُ أَلْقَاهُ عَلَىٰ وَجْهِهِ فَارْتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. So when the people came, his brothers came, and they brought the glad tidings, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is alive. And they put the kurta on his eyes, and his eyesight was restored. So he said, أَلَمْ أَقُلْ لَكُمْ. Did I not tell you, Allah gave me knowledge which إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُ, which you didn't give you. That was amazing. When he was there, when they threw him into the well that time, he couldn't smell Yusuf alayhi salam's fragrance. But when he was in Egypt and they were coming back, all of a sudden he smells the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salam, because Allah Ta'ala did it. When Allah Ta'ala wanted him to smell the fragrance, Allah Ta'ala did it. And when Allah Ta'ala didn't want it, although he was in the vicinity when he was in the well, he couldn't smell the fragrance of Yusuf alayhi salam. But the point I want to make, he asked them, tell me, how is my Yusuf? I came to know after 40 years that he's alive. How is he? Who said, he is the king of Egypt. He is the most important person in Egypt. Everything happens by his command. He has so much of power and authority. And Yaqub alayhi salam said, I'm not asking you about him being the most important person. I'm asking you, how is the iman of my Yusuf? How is the iman of my Yusuf? So they said, Alhamdulillah, iman also is well. Then Yaqub alayhi salam thanked Allah Ta'ala. He said, I'm not asking you how much of wealth he's got. He's got power and authority. I'm asking you, what is his iman? Brothers, I'm asking you, do you have the same concern? Do we all have the same concern about our children? This is what we as parents have to realize. And in today's time, we all know the challenges our community and our society and the situation and the environment has thrown up. Now, as parents, we have a greater responsibility. You know, I read one day a book, that time I went, long time ago, I went to CNA. No, that time we used to go to CNA, it used to be one, like an excursion for you to go and see the different types of books. And I saw one book. I even purchased it, but it was some 20 odd years back. I don't even know if I got it in my bookshelf. And I just like the title, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. Parenting isn't for cowards. If you want to be a parent, then you have to realize the responsibility of being a parent. It's not only the joy, it is a responsibility. Brothers, the greatest responsibility is the iman. And today the iman can be preserved. I'll just give you a few points. One of it is the maktab. The maktab is the madrasas. Brother, I can't overemphasize the importance of this madrasas. You and I take it lightly. But this is the training ground for our children to preserve the iman. Don't take this maktab as lightly. Great, great ulama. Ulama like Hazrat Maulana Abul Hassan Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali, Maulana Manzoor Nu'mani Rahmatullah Ali, they have made mention with regard to the importance of maktab, that primary Islamic education. They used to say, either see to it that your children are Islamically educated, or otherwise bear the consequences of aliyadu billah, perhaps they will become murtads. They will turn away from Islam. And this is the reality. You know, many times we heard from people who have been to, you know, South America, the Jamaats, they went there and they saw Muslims. And today, then the Muslims saw them, they said, our grandparents used to dress like this. Our grandparents used to read the Quran. Our grandparents used to do this. They had lost the iman. Although I have heard from authoritative sources that the people who went from Arabia to go and settle down in South America, many of them were not only Arabs, they were children of Sahaba. But because they didn't see to the tarbiyat and the Islamic education of their children, after one or two generations, there was no Islam left in them. If we are not going to keep our children in madrasas and in the maktabs and show them the importance of it, there could be a possibility that liyadu billah, may Allah Ta'ala protect and may Allah Ta'ala forbid, our children could also become like that. So see to it that we pay attention to our madrasa. Today this is a madrasa jalsa. I would like to repeatedly emphasize the importance of this. And this, you know, is amazing. I was just reading an article as I was going. I said, right now I'm coming here, I'm going to speak in a jalsa. So I read one or two articles. So one article read and said that the first maktab was in the house of Fatima binti Khattab. Right? Fatima binti Khattab was the sister of Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Now we all know the incident. That this was perhaps one of the first maktabs. That Umar radiallahu ta'ala set out to go and assassinate Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He set out to assassinate Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the way, he met someone who said, where are you going? I'm going to kill Aliyadu Billah Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has caused such great amount of division amongst us. So someone said, leave Muhammad. Go and look after your own family. So the person said, what are you saying? He said, your sister and brother-in-law Sa'id bin Zaid have also accepted Islam. Umar became enraged. He became so angry. And he went towards the house of his sister. What did he see? You know the incident. What did he hear? He saw Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala teaching his sister and brother-in-law the Quran. The same thing that we do in Maktab. So Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala was teaching them the Quran. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala could not contain his anger. He burst into them and he beat his sister. She was completely in blood. And Sa'id bin Zaid also was also in completely in blood. Then after all, she was also the sister of Umar. She says, Umar, you can beat us how much you want. Iman has come into our hearts, we will never leave Iman. We will never leave Iman. So Umar felt ashamed. He said, what were you reading? What were you reading? So they said, we were reading the Quran. He said, let me read it. So the sister said, no, you can't read it until you make wuzu. And Umar made wuzu and he read the first page of Surah Taha. And subhanAllah, when he came to Innani ana Allahu la ilaha illa. إنني أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدني وأقم الصلاة لذكري. Read one page of the Holy Quran. Umar was ajib. His heart was full of sincerity. And his heart was full of commitment. When he was committed towards wrong, he was committed to that. When he became a Muslim, he became fully committed to this. SubhanAllah. One page he became a Muslim. And where did he come? He came into a place where they were learning to read the Quran. Some people say that that was perhaps one of the first examples of a maktab. So brothers, keep in mind this is very important. And also with regard to the aspect of, you know, parenting, maybe I'll just give you one or two examples and one or two tips. Brothers, children, they love to be noticed. no matter how much they show independence, children love to be noticed. Children need to be affirmed. Children need to be validated. And we as parents, we need to give them that love. We need to give them the affirmation. We need to give them the validation. And if we do not do, you'll see, for example, you will find in children, many a times, you know, you see a small child that's growing up, and maybe it's 3, 4, 5 years, and got a small sibling, and the sibling becomes the center of attention. Right? And sometimes you will find that there are a small group of children, and all of a sudden, one of the children will, you know, when there are a lot of children, that one child will misbehave. And in the midst of all the children, especially when there's an elder sibling and there's a younger sibling who has now captured the attention of the entire family, this elder child starts misbehaving. Psychologists tell us that one of the reasons why they will do that is because children would like to be noticed. Even as bad children, or even as misbehaved children, rather than being ignored as good children. So why do they make this? Why will they create a scene? Because you are ignoring them. All of a sudden, the attention is gone to the new sibling. And this particular child is misbehaving. Why? He's been ignored. So what does it do? It creates a scene to be able to be affirmed, to be validated, to be recognized. Children would do that. Can you imagine? I've recently done a whole lot of series, you know, on drug addiction. And, you know, I tried to look at the causes. I went into one support group who are helping the people from recovering addicts, etc. And while doing research on this and speaking to people, one person told me an amazing thing. One counselor who was doing this drugs thing told me one amazing thing. He said that, you know, he asked one child, you know, why are you hanging out with friends who are such bad company? They are doing wrong things. Why are you hanging out with them? What's wrong with you? Do you realize the consequences? So he said, the child told me something that struck me so much. The child told me, he said, my friends make me feel special. My friends make me feel special. And then the counselor told me, he said, I realized that this particular child was looking to feel special, and it took the friends to make him feel special. Why didn't the parents in the home make him feel special? It will be a tragedy that the children must go to another situation and go to other friends, and they must go and seek affirmation and validation when they don't get it from home. Parents must be very, very sensitive with regard to this. Affirm your children, validate your children. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, إِذَا أَرَادَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتٍ خَيْرٍ أَدْخَلَ عَلَيْهِمُ الرِّفْقِ. Ya Allah, when I read this hadith, I feel that why? We have not been able to understand this. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when Allah Ta'ala wants goodness in a home, when Allah Ta'ala wants goodness in a home, Allah Ta'ala introduces kindness in that home. When you want to see, many times we say, we go to ulama, make dua, Allah Ta'ala bring barakat in our house. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told you the way of bringing Allah's barakah. When Allah wants goodness in a home, Allah Ta'ala introduces kindness. When you see in a home that the parents are speaking with kindness towards the children are speaking with respect and kindness towards the parents, and there is a general atmosphere of kindness, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed that home. And when you see the, you know, in the home, the husband and wife are fighting. Ya Allah. All the time they are fighting. And all the time they are, you know, scoring points over one another. It's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken away his barakah from that house. Huh? So be aware of these type of things. When parents fight, it has an impact upon children. They find it very difficult. So create a situation. I'm not saying there must not be discipline. You know, there has to be discipline. It is frightening for a child to grow up without limitation, without some form of discipline, without knowing that there is a certain circle beyond which I cannot go. And someone has very beautifully put it in this way. They say to look after a growing child, especially a teenage child, it is like a wet bar of soap. You know, a wet bar of soap is amazing. If you take a wet bar of soap, if you leave it loosely on your hand, it will fall out. And you will see that if you catch a red bar of soap very, very hard, it also falls out. Now that is the type of balance we are supposed to have with regard to the tarbiyat of children. Not too soft that they have a carte blanche to do whatever they want. Or not so harsh upon them that they become rebellious. Brothers, be very careful with your words with your children. You know, I read one day somewhere, someone said that, you know, when you, for example, you children break a glass or break a cup or a saucer, and then instinctively many a times the parents will say butterfingers. Now you know what that does to the mind of a child. So the next time it's about to carry and to catch a plate or a saucer, it instinctively becomes lack of confidence. And many times you see, you will find them doing it a couple of times. And you find, what is the reason? Well, you created that type of psychological fear in them. Give your children confidence. Don't bring them up on the basis of inferiority complex. So when you create them in a sense of inferiority complex, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Give your children confidence. It has been proven that children who are confident, I'm not so talking of arrogance, children who grow up with confidence that they get from home, they are more likely to be able to resist the pressure of their friends when telling them to do evil, because they got confidence from home. And someone has very beautifully put it this way. He says that punishment suppresses behavior. Punishment suppresses behavior. Tarbiyat and good upbringing changes behavior. You think that punishment is going to change their behavior. Punishment only suppresses the behavior. So they won't do it in front of you for fear of punishment. They might do it elsewhere. But tarbiyat, giving them good advice, that changes behavior. We want to change their behavior. We don't want to suppress their behavior. Punishment will suppress it. Tarbiyat, speaking to them, will change it. I read about Hazrat Luqman. Luqman the wise, Allah Ta'ala has made mention with regard to his advices. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ عَنِ شْكُرْ لِلَّهِ Allah Ta'ala says, you know, Allah Ta'ala granted Hazrat Luqman hikmat and wisdom. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِأَبِيهِ وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِابْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِزُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَزُ And recall the time when Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam was advising his son. Ya Bunayya, O my son, don't associate partners to Almighty Allah. Ya Bunayya, O my son, do this. Aqim is salat, perform salat. Wa amur ahla. All of that. Ya Bunayya, la tusair khaddaqa linnas. Don't look down upon people. Wa la tamshi fil ardi maraha. Don't walk on the earth with arrogance. So all of these advices. So in one book, you know, it is written that Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam's son was given an incline towards, you know, turning away and not being upon the right path. And Luqman alayhi salatu wasalam's constant advisors brought him upon the right path. So speak to your children. Advise your children. Have a communication with your children. You know, just to punish them, it suppresses the bad behavior. We don't want to suppress it, we want to change it. Changing happens by tarbiyat, speaking to them, giving them examples, giving them motivation. You know, making them part of your good deeds. Make your children part of your good deeds. Where do we learn this from? Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the means of a dream, which was a revelation from Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is slaughtering his son. And what did he do? He one day came into his son. Ya bunayya, inni ara fil manam, anni azbahuka fanzur madha tara. Oh my son, I have seen in a dream, I am slaughtering you. Tell me, what is your opinion? Ya abati if'al ma tu'umar. Oh my father, do as you have been commanded. Ibrahim alayhi salam, being the Khalil of Allah, being one of the greatest in terms of submission to Allah, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam could have just gone and slaughtered his son because Allah Ta'ala had commanded it and he was prepared to do it. But what did he do? Oh my son, I saw in a dream, what is your opinion? So he made him part of the good deed. Brothers, you and I must make our children part of good deeds. Link them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give them the tools to be able to recognize Allah. Give them the tools to be able to recognize the benefit of obedience to Allah. And give them the tools to be able to realize the consequences of disobedience to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you must do that. You know, try and bring them towards the likes and dislikes of Allah ta'ala rather than our own likes and dislikes. Sometimes tell your children, we are in the habit of sometimes telling our children, keep your room clean, keep your clothes clean, pack your clothes. I don't like untidiness. I don't like you being dirty. Instead of saying that, sometimes just change the words and said, Allah does not like uncleanliness. Huh? Allah likes cleanliness. Innahu yuhibbul mutahhirin. Allah Ta'ala loves cleanliness. Huh? So sometimes make it upon your children the likes of and the likes and dislikes of Allah. Allah doesn't like this. Allah likes this. Turn them towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are just few things that I'm making mention with regard to brothers. We are living in a world which is full of great amount of challenges. The thing that is going to help us is communication with our children. Love with our children. Even I say that even if children were to do something that is wrong, even if children were to misbehave, or children have got a problem, the first port of call with regard to anything they do must be their parents. You must be able to have that communication. If the child does something wrong, instead of him going to his friends who might give him wrong advice, he must be able to come to the parents and say, "Oh my Abba, oh my Ammi, I've done something like this." The first port of call for the child in anything must be the parents. And in today's time, with regard to all the fitnas we are changing, it's important. We can't isolate our children from all the fitnas. It's impossible to do so. You can't insulate them, inoculate them. You can't isolate them. You think that they don't know if they know everything. You know, they used to say once upon a time, teach the children the facts of life. And when they talked about the facts of life, they meant a particular type of situation of male-female relationship. So they should tell the children that, you know, tell the parents, teach your children the facts of life. Nowadays they say to teach the children the facts of life is like teaching a fish how to swim. They know it before you. Well, what you're going to teach them? They'll teach you about it. So you can't isolate them. You can't inoculate them. Tell them that these things happen. I remember Maulana Taha Karan, Rahmatullah Ali, a great scholar. Ya Allah, we haven't realized the worth of that person's ilm. You know, when you listen, even today when you listen to him, just, you know, marvel at this great amount of knowledge that he has. So he said one day a very amazing thing. He was giving a, you know, a workshop on Shiism. So he said the Shias will bring certain types of things, you know, objections. So when you first time you will hear it from them, it could have a great impact upon you. Because first time you hear, okay, this happened. I didn't know about it. And he said a very important thing. He said, the people, the congregation must listen to quote unquote the bad news from you. Children must learn the challenges of the age from you. If they're going to learn to it from the curriculum, we all know what's happening in the curriculum. We all know what's happening in the curriculum today, right? We all know that. So they must learn all the bad things and the challenges of the bad thing from the parents. Make it a point. And of course, you know, these are just giving you some tips with regard to it. It's important for us to realize, and the real reason why I'm making mention of it is because of the parents' great responsibility. And I'm going to conclude with an example which is deduced from an ayat of the Holy Quran. And sometimes when I make mention of this example, I shudder. But in reality, that is the lesson of the ayat. And when I make mention of this example, I make mention of it from the very beginning. Oh Allah, never ever let this happen to anyone. But this is an example which the Quran tells us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. So what did Allah Ta'ala tell us? O parents, save yourself and your children and your family from the fire of Jahannam. Now, to give you a manifestation, an example of this, Aliyadu Billah, may Allah ever forbid it ever happens. Someone comes home and he's driving home and he sees from the distance that there is a fire in his vicinity. And now normally we feel, no, this can't be anyone else. It can't be us, it must be a felt fire or something else. But when he comes closer towards the home and he's driving, he said, hey, this is quite close to my home. And now all of a sudden he starts feeling worried. So can this be something that is of danger to my child or to my children or to my family? And when he comes nearer, he sees, yes, his own house is burning. His own house is burning. Now the worry is, what happened to my wife? What happened to my children? Are they safe? He rushes into his home. The fire brigades are there. You can't go. He said, I'm the owner of the house. They allow him to go. He comes near the house and he sees his wife and his two children are safe. They are on the streets. He heaves and he says, Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala has kept them free. Then the thought comes, there's another child. What happened to him? He was supposed to be out, but is he out or is he in the house? Right? And perhaps, and he sees that in the window of the house, the child is waving. Child is waving. What will a parent do at that time? What will he do? He'll put all caution aside. He will rush to go and save his child. Right? I'm just giving an example, brothers, because this is what the meaning of the ayat is. More than this example, Allah Ta'ala says, save your children from that fire which is far more greater than this fire. Save your children from that fire. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Now find the ways and means. Don't take it lightly. See to it that you give your children the tarbiyat, the upbringing, that inshallah they will become not only in Jannah, they will become our provisions for us in Jannah. Hazrat Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi makes mention, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be standing on the scale of his good deeds. And all of a sudden he will see great amount of good deeds coming on the scale of his good deeds. And he will say, Ya Allah, I didn't do so many good deeds. Where did these good deeds come from? And he will be given the answer that you left behind pious children. They made dua for you. Or even if they didn't make dua, they just lived a righteous life. Because they lived a righteous life, you have got now the rewards that is coming on the scale of your good deeds. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, O believers, save yourself and your family members from the fire of Jahannam. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us ideal parents. Parents that will be motivation and inspiration for our children. We will save our children from all wrong things. We will do our utmost and we will make dua. Don't underestimate dua. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, three people's duas are not rejected by Allah. One of them is a parent's dua for the child. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi became blind. Right? Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi became blind. The mother used to make a lot of dua. Oh Allah, restore the sight of my child. Restore the sight of my child. Restore him. And one day she saw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in a dream. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gave her glad tidings that your child's eyesight has been restored. The next morning she got up, the son, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's eyesight was restored by the dua of the mother. Subhanallah. And Imam Bukhari became Imam Bukhari, that up till today, a person becomes an alim after he completes Bukhari. As-sahhu al-kutubi ba'da kitabillah. The most authentic book after the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How it happened? Because of the dua of the mother. So we as parents have a great responsibility. The community also have a great responsibility. May Allah Ta'ala make us fulfill that responsibility. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Allahumma laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa mawlana Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma anta as-salamu minka as-salam. Tabarakta rabbana wa ta'alayti hadha al-jalali wal ikram. Allahumma rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata ayun. وجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم ثبتنا للإيمان وأمتنا للإيمان واحشرنا يوم القيامة مع المتقين والإيمان اللهم إنا نعوذ بك ونعوذ بك من أولادنا من منكرات الأخلاق والأعمال والأهواء والأدواء يا الله يا أرحم الراحمين يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا رحم الضعفاء والمساكين يا الله شاور يور مرسي اند فيفرز أبون أس يا الله يا الله there's a barrier in receiving your mercy and forgiveness that is a barrier of our sins يا الله remove our sins. Remove our sins by your forgiveness. Ya Allah, we are not happy with regard to the wrongs that we have done. We are ashamed of it. Your beloved Habib had said, whoever feels regret over the wrong that he has done, and he approaches you, then you will, inshallah, Ya Allah, you will treat us with forgiveness, and you will forgive our sins. Ya Allah, forgive our sins. Ya Allah, not because we are worthy, because you love forgiveness. إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم. يا الله, اللهم مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا. يا الله, your مغفرت and your رحمت and your mercy far supersedes our guna and sins. يا الله, forgive our sins because of your abundant mercy. يا الله, keep us steadfast upon Islam, keep us away from prohibitions. يا الله, keep us steadfast upon Iman. يا الله, keep us and our children steadfast upon Iman. And يا الله, when we all leave this world, let us leave with the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Ya Allah, you have blessed us with Iman. Ya Allah, a generous person, when he gives someone something, ya Allah, does not take it away from him. He'll feel that it is against generosity to take it away. Ya Allah, you are most generous, ya Allah. You are far more generous than any human being, ya Allah. Ya Allah, when you have given us Iman, ya Allah, do not take it away from us and keep us steadfast upon that Iman. Ya Allah, let us give proper tarbiyat to our children, ya Allah. Ya Allah, protect our children, ya Allah, from all the trials of the age. Ya Allah, there is so many trials, ya Allah. Ya Allah, your Sahaba lived in a time, ya Allah, when they came out of their home, they saw your beloved Habib. They saw wahi coming down. They saw angels, ya Allah. Ya Allah, our children, what do they see when they come out of their homes? Ya Allah, they only see systems of disobedience, ya Allah. Ya Allah, they see guna and sins. In every corner, ya Allah, there is temptation. They have been invited towards sins. Ya Allah, you have mercy upon our children, ya Allah. You have mercy upon our society, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect them. Ya Allah, we as parents, we try, ya Allah. As a community, we try. Ya Allah, we set up madrasas. We give tarbiyat. We give, ya Allah, Islamic education. But we cannot police our children 24 hours a day. Ya Allah, you take care of them, ya Allah. Ya Allah, if ever they were to take a path towards wrong, ya Allah, ya Allah, catch them by their forelocks and bring them upon the right path. Ya Allah, do not let them go towards the path of evil, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you protect them, ya Allah. You bring them upon the right path, ya Allah. Ya Allah, you keep them steadfast, ya Allah. Allah, we will do our bit, ya Allah. And we ask you, ya Allah, that you keep them steadfast, ya Allah. You keep them upon the right path, ya Allah. And ya Allah, they let them become the fullness of our eyes in this world, and let them become provisions for us in the year after. And above all, ya Allah, we ask of you that you remain our guide and our protector in every step of our life. قال الله تعالى في شأن حبيبه إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.